RNZ Pacific, Malo le soifua a Maratoile e Patela with a bulletin of news. Papua New Guinea media paint a grim ongoing picture of full morgues due to the surge in COVID-19 cases. Transmission of the Delta strain of COVID is understood to be widespread in several provinces, particularly in densely populated urban areas. Hospitals in the biggest cities, including Port Moresby, Leigh, Mount Hagen and Goroka, are reported to be full as deaths from the virus have become a daily occurrence. The mortuary at Port Moresby General Hospital is full, with 300 bodies there at present. It has reached full capacity and now bodies are being stored at another unspecified location. After 100 days in office, the Whaatuatua I le Atua o Tasi government, led by Samoa's first female Prime Minister, Via Mea Naomi Mataafa, says it has stuck to implementing its election promises. The Prime Minister says the biggest issue of contention was their promise of 1 million tala to each electoral constituency for development programs. VME says the recently passed National Budget 2021-2022 has started the ball rolling with the allocation of 200,000 tala seed money to each constituency to get institutional operations ready by forming committees to look at projects to be covered under the scheme. She says that this scheme is one of several ways her government is looking at sharing some of the wealth the government has procured. China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi says China will set up a fund to help Pacific Island countries defeat the COVID-19 pandemic. Wang made the remarks at the first China-Pacific Island countries foreign ministers meeting in Beijing via video link. He says the bilateral relationship between China and Pacific Island countries has good momentum and the comprehensive strategic partnership has continued to deepen. Wang says China will help the Pacific Island countries fight the virus by donating vaccines and establishing and sponsoring a China-Pacific Island Countries Fund. A major business lobby says the New Zealand government's traffic light COVID-19 framework and extended support package provide the certainty many firms need to make plans and keep afloat. The Chief Executive of Business New Zealand, Kirk Hope, says the unknown length of Auckland's lockdown was causing a lot of stress, and many small business owners were remortgaging properties to buy themselves time. He says the government has also paved the way for many businesses to introduce vaccine mandates, which will provide a certainty too. The Hotel Council wants the New Zealand government to provide urgent, targeted financial support for tourism businesses until the border is reopened to international visitors. Its strategic director, James Doolan, says the lack of clarity about the border and the traffic light framework is frustrating.
We've asked for timelines for when borders reopen, but in the meantime, there should be a clear expression that there will be targeted support for tourism businesses until those borders open.
James Doolan says the Auckland lockdown is adding to the hurt for firms that now rely on domestic tourists. 16 people have been killed in an explosion and fire at a gunpowder and chemicals plant in the western Russian province of Ryazan. A person believed to be the sole survivor was rushed to hospital with severe burns. A video of the explosion shows a huge yellow fireball rising into the air, and photos of the aftermath show a scene of total destruction with smoke still rising from the rubble. The cause of the explosion is unclear, although the TASS news agency has quoted a source as saying it was a failure to observe proper technical procedures. Myanmar's military government has rejected a decision by its Southeast Asian neighbours to invite only a non-political figure to the upcoming ASEAN summit in Brunei. The junta's foreign ministry says the country's heads or state or government are entitled to participate in summits of the 10-member association. It is not clear who, if anybody, will now represent Myanmar at the meeting. The decision taken by ASEAN foreign ministers at an emergency meeting last Friday was an unusually bold step for the consensus-driven bloc, which traditionally favours a policy of engagement and non-interference. The Department of Lands and Physical Planning in the autonomous Papua New Guinea region of Bougainville is clamping down on illegal building in Buka. Along with the Buka Urban Town Council, it has issued a stop work notice on illegal and unapproved developments in Bougainville's main town. It applies to business houses, landowners and developers. Anyone wanting to make changes will need the approval of both the Physical Planning Office and the Building Board. Those who don't comply have been told they risk a fine of up to $1,300 for individuals and over $2,000 for corporate entities. UNICEF and the United States have teamed up to support Pacific governments with their preparedness and response to COVID-19. UNICEF's Pacific representative, Jonathan Veitch, says Pacific Island countries remain vulnerable to COVID-19 outbreaks, even though vaccination coverage is increasing. He says the support from the United States International Aid Agency, USAID, will enhance the efforts of Pacific Island governments to protect their people as they begin to reopen borders. The money will help UNICEF to further boost vaccine uptake in the region. The New Zealand police say they will be targeting and preventing unsafe behaviour on the roads over Labour weekend. The Director of Policing, Steve Greeley, says that people need to pay attention to some basic rules.
Making sure that drivers are not impaired by alcohol, fatigue or drugs, making sure that people aren't distracted by their cell phones, and of course making sure that people drive to the speed that's suitable not only for the weather conditions but also for the type of road, and no greater of course than the speed limit.
In the 5 years through 2020, 23 people died and 158 were seriously injured during Labour weekends, including 8 deaths last year. 2 people have died on the roads so far this weekend. A woman was hit by a truck in Central Hawke's Bay, and a person died after a crash involving a car and a motorbike in Burnham. In sport, Namibia have upset Ireland in their final group game to advance to the second round of the T20 World Cup and dump the Irish out of the tournament. Choosing to bat in Sharjah, Ireland were restricted to 125/8, which Namibia chafes down with 8 wickets and 9 balls to spare. Also this morning, Sri Lanka, who were already through to the Super 12 stage, beat the Netherlands by 8 wickets to finish the group stage unbeaten. Otago came back from 17-0 down to edge Canterbury 2022 in a thrilling NPC rugby match in Dunedin last night. England have announced a bid to host the Women's Rugby World Cup in 2025. New Zealand hosts the postponed 2021 event next October and November. New Zealand squash player Paul Cole has reached the final of the Qatar Classic in Doha by beating Egypt's Mostafa Asal. And Lydia Ko carded a second round 5 under par 67 to move into a share of 26th, 7 shots off the lead at the LPGA Tour BMW's Championship in South Korea. And that's the latest news from RNZ Pacific. For more on our stories, go to our website, rnzi.com.